back on time. We want to finish.
We do want to finish on time, so I will just get started. So what we're going to do now is the exact same thing that we were doing before, but now with scoring MMI behaviors. So you have a sample station in your folder, okay? And I'm just going to find it. It is called Bad Breath, okay? And this is the MMI station. What you see on the here is you see instructions for the candidate. This is what the candidate sees, okay, prior to the station and is allowed to read for 2 minutes. And then there are instructions for the evaluator, which gives you a bit of an idea about how to score the station. And if you turn the page, you have the five questions that are scored on a 7-point Likert scale, okay, similar to what we did before. And you also, because this is one that has a standardized actor, you also have the script for the standardized actor, okay? So I'm going to give you a minute to read the instructions, and then you will watch the interaction for 8 minutes, and I will ask you to score it after that based upon with your clickers that you have. And one other thing is that I'd just like to welcome dentistry colleagues who have just joined us. Okay? All right. So our two candidates, our candidate and our actor is here. So Giuseppe here, thank you very much, is our candidate. And our actor is Julia. Julia is from the Med 1 class, and Giuseppe is from the Med 2 class, right? So thank you to both of them. And without any further ado, we will get started. So in the MMIs, you will hear overhead, please enter room now, and the candidates will enter the room, and they have 8 minutes to do whatever it is they are doing, and there are different stations, actor stations, interview stations, and task stations, but we are showing you an actor station. And then after the 8 minutes, they move on to the next station, read for 2 minutes, and repeat the process. All right, so we're going to assume that Giuseppe...
You can click through, and you'll see the instructions.
Okay. So these are our three candidates. The next candidate, Nebrasi, will meet in a few minutes. So thank you very much. Here's the MMI blueprint, which shows you the different kinds of things that we do. We look at, as I just told you. And
this is what the candidate would read on the door before they come in.
Right. It's bad breath, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's not bad breath.
It is?
Yeah.
Right. It is. All right. So,
can you ask them to actually try to do it in 5 minutes instead of 8, just so that we can get through it? And
okay.
So we'll see.
So we're going to start the interaction now, and I will move out of the way and count 5 minutes.
Okay. Please start.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, Beth, I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay. I had a bit of a rough morning. I rushed to class, and I made it in time, but I was a bit late, and I had time to grab coffee, though.
Oh, so awesome.
It's good. Perfect. So, you wanted to see me for something?
Yeah, so you must be wondering why I asked to meet up.
Yeah, today. A little bit.
So, we have that sociology class that we're all taking together,
yeah.
And, you know, we've been together for a year so far, and we've been working on our project. And there was just one issue that I thought would be important to discuss since we've become really good friends over the year. And it's just there's no easy way of saying it, and this might be a little awkward, but I just wanted to tell you that I noticed that sometimes when we're talking and we're a little close that you have a little bit of issue with your breath. Yeah, I know. It's gonna be a little awkward.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you why I thought it would be good to talk about it.
Oh my God, that's so embarrassing.
Yeah. I know.
I'm so sorry.
No, you don't need to apologize. Absolutely don't need to apologize. But I wanted to tell you because, like, we're in sociology, and we are going to be applying for internships to work in labs and stuff, and we're going to be applying for jobs, and this is something that might affect the outcome.
Uh-huh.
and we've become really good friends, and I would want someone to tell me if my breath smelled.
Yeah, and, of course, but...
And this is something that, like, you think it's bad now, but this is something that will be fixed, and it won't matter anymore, right?
Okay, but I mean, you mentioned the group. Do you mean that everyone's been talking about this?
So
everyone think I have bad breath in the group?
Well, we talked about it, yeah.
Oh, my God.
But it's we've become good friends, right? Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And I know it sounds like it's bad, but we decided that...
I feel bad now. Yeah, I don't want you to...
You absolutely don't need to feel bad about this. We got together and we discussed that we figured it would be way less awkward if one person spoke to you about it. And the way you want to handle this is absolutely up to you.
Okay,
like, personally, I'm more of a, like, just beat the conversation until it doesn't matter anymore. So I'd go up to the group and be like, hey, guys, my breath smells.
Oh my God.
Deal with it. And then we'd all laugh, and hopefully.
I'm not sure how I'm going to face everyone, though.
But you can do it yourself.
I mean, you guys are, like, the only friends I've made here so far, and I was really happy to meet you guys. And it's been a bit overwhelming for me, but I was trying to take care of myself, but I had trouble meeting people. And then you guys were, like, the only group that I had, and now you all think I have
bad breath, but that's not... Like, we decided that because we're friends, we're going to talk about it. And we're all first-year students. We've all had trouble making friends, and it's an adaptation process for all of us. And, like, we all have our days with bad breath and not. But we figured maybe, is there something you think that is causing this, or...?
I try to take care of myself, but it's been hard because, you know, in res...
Yeah, absolutely.
It's, like, a bit overwhelming, and I don't have time for a lot of things.
Exactly.
I guess I haven't been brushing my teeth as much as
okay.
I should. Like, I wake up late, and I rush out the door, and I drink a lot of coffee, so... And,
you are a university student.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, since I'm new to the city, I haven't really had time to find a dentist.
Okay. Well,
but,
perfect.
I mean, I thought I was taking care of it. I didn't think it was that bad.
Well, it's not bad. It's just something we noticed, and we thought that it would be really ideal to talk to you about. I'm only doing this because we're friends, and I felt like I would want someone to tell me. And I know at the beginning it's awkward, but once it fixes itself, it won't matter anymore.
Yeah. But what do you think I should do? Because I thought it was okay, you know?
Well, you mentioned like that you don't brush your teeth regularly. Is there anything else that you have habits that might affect your breath?
Well, do you think... I smoke a bit when I'm stressed.
Okay.
Do you think that's...
Possible. We can talk about your smoking habit another day, though. But but maybe brushing your teeth... I know it sounds like a chore at the beginning. And, like, you know, they say that you should brush your teeth for 2 minutes. And maybe trying it, like... It might help, and then you try it out. If that doesn't, I can refer you. I have a great dentist that I found.
Yeah.
His chair, like, he has massage chairs,
which
is really nice.
Okay, you think I should go see the dentist?
Yeah, absolutely. I can give you his number, and you can make an appointment. And but, like, it's well, when was the last time you saw your dentist?
Like, I think two years ago, maybe?
Yeah, so maybe it would be a good idea to have a meeting with one. But it's not the end of the world. You can start with brushing your teeth, and if that helps, then you can take your time. But I don't want you to feel bad. Don't put your hand in front of your mouth. It makes you feel terrible.
I mean, it's embarrassing. I don't want you to have my...
It's fine. I don't smell anything now. I don't smell anything now. But I just want you to know that my intentions were good, and I don't want you to feel bad at all.
And it's very nice of you to tell me. I mean, you're being a really good friend.
Awesome.
I mean, it's embarrassing, but I would rather know now than 4 years later when I graduate.
And like with the group we discussed, and I know it sounds awful that we discussed it as a group, but if you don't want to deal with it again... Like, you don't have to talk about it. If you wanna just say, hey, guys, I appreciate it, it's fine.
You think it's okay with everyone? Like, they don't feel forced?
No one feels forced to do anything. This is entirely up to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's really nice of you.
Okay.
Thank you for telling me.
Awesome. Scenario is over. Please exit room and go to the So we're going to ask the actors to, just because you may want to just talk about them without them being in the room, judge the behaviors and all kinds of things. We're going to ask the actors, thank you very much,
no problem.
Giuseppe. We're going to ask them to wait outside.
So you should take your mic off.
Can
she keep her mic off and go outside, or is that a...
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Will you guys hear me when I... Okay.
So we're going to go through the same exercise of scoring. Okay, so a couple of things that are a bit different is that there would have been 3 more minutes. Okay, but I think we've gotten to a place where we can score it. And again, I'm going to ask you to use these five scales. five questions for your scales, and they're in the sheet there, and we'll start now. So, ability to establish a friendly, non-judgmental relationship with the student receiving the news. Please, I'll stop when we're at around 28 or 29. Responses, we'll see how concordant you are. And what we're going to do is we're actually going to go through all five questions and then kind of have a bit of a more general discussion. So here, actually, you have a pretty good concordance, like excellent and very strong, okay? But there are a significant number of you that saw it as strong and good, right? So we're going to have a bit of a conversation about that, but I do think that psychometrically we're not doing too badly there. Okay, next one. Ability to respond to the student's initial awkwardness and embarrassment. This one's excellent. Excellent concordance, actually. So most of you saw that as very strong. Okay. The communication skills: listening, speaking clearly, use of appropriate language, use of nonverbal cues. Bit more spread here, but still acceptable kind of psychometrics in that more than 36, 25, and 18, so more than 80% are within one of very strong. So overall, we're seeing this as a very strong performance. Ability to be helpful in resolving the current situation. Again, actually very concordant. Many of us are scoring within one of very strong. Okay, so the final one. One thing that I must point out is that as we're reviewing these, which wouldn't normally be the case, you may be getting affected. It's like you may actually begin approaching each other, right? Like, so it's a little bit not as real as in the real situation, but it's the best that we can do in a training scenario. So here we are again. We've got a lot of concordance. So what was great about this response? Like, what makes this a good response? What do people think? 11:24. What are people seeing? What was good about how he did it?
Mm-hmm.
Right, so bringing that, because again I want to get at the curricular alignment idea, right? Like, so I agree that he really tried to do that, okay? There were some times when we laughed, and I want to talk about that after, but or certainly when I laughed. But what that maps onto as an output of the MD curriculum or the DMD curriculum is probably empathy, right? The ability to be empathic, to put yourself in someone else's shoes, to develop a relationship with someone, right? Okay, so that sort of gives you a bit of an idea there. So we did teeter, just two more seconds. We did, laugh a little bit in there. So what kinds of things made you laugh in there? And by the way, when you'll be behind a one-way mirror, but sometimes if you laugh really loud, they can hear you. So you got to be careful with your laughing. Okay.
No, I was just
going to
say what you said, but you mentioned that maybe I haven't brushed my teeth, so maybe you should start by doing that. So it was very, you brush your teeth and then you go from there. And
yeah, it made me laugh too. When so maybe you should start by brushing your teeth, which which, you know, kind of, you know, he did it really well, actually, but it could be condescending, right? Like, so that's, so again, there's even in a behavior that you're watching, as opposed to a text that you're reading, there's interpretation that goes on, right? So it, like, I saw this thing, but did I interpret it as condescending or as kind of like he's trying his best, or, you know, what is it? Any other episodes with the laughing? So he tried to be down on her level, right? You know, hey, it, like, I think what he was kind of saying, and this is me interpreting, right? I could, you know, there but for the grace of a toothbrush go I, you know? You know, I could be there, you know? And that's his way of trying to build a relationship. There was one comment over here.
He also said, stop covering your mouth and being subconscious.
Yeah.
Now I'm embarrassed too, so they're on equal levels, but at the same time it was kind of funny to us because, I mean, I guess that you would think the same thing if that was you talking to them, but
right.
Also, I mean, it was her issue, but now he's making it about himself, so it was a bit funny in those two ways. Okay.
Dr. Schloss?
I thought it was a good example of
relationship.
Yeah. I understood they didn't know each other very well,
right.
he encountered a problem.
Right. So exactly, the realm of what we're testing here, when you sort of look in the literature, and MMIs aren't the only way to do this, but they're called situational judgment testing, right? So, which is sort of the idea of what doctors do. People come with a problem, and you try to help them with it. That's the sort of the basic idea. You had a comment? Last one.
What was missing for me, I think this kind of was strong as opposed to excellent, was there wasn't very much team or, I guess, partnership involved. Or he wasn't asking very many questions in along the lines of, what do you think of this plan? Do you think something reasonable that you might be able to do?
So the notion of checking for understanding, checking for the ability to kind of address the problem, actually, is she just saying, but she has other issues coming up? You wanted the last comment.
Sure. I think what this scenario is trying to bring out is kind of the way to deliver bad news in the healthcare profession.
Mm-hmm.
I think for him, he kind of over-talked.
Yeah.
Just kind of rambled. And I think for this scenario, it's a lighthearted scenario. It's a small issue. It's fine. But I think if we're going on to the more serious medical bad news, I think the golden kind of just letting the patient absorb it,
right.
Silence.
So the one thing that I noticed as well is exactly that, which is that usually when you deliver bad news, doesn't matter any bad news, usually there's a kind of a reaction, and that you might need to let that happen or acknowledge that it's happening or some such thing, which I didn't see as much. He was a bit of a rescuer, right? He wanted to fix it all for her. But yeah. All right, so we're going to do the exact same one. Yeah, we're going to do the exact same one, but with a different candidate and perhaps a different level of performance. I'm actually not sure what they're going to do. But I want you to sort of see two in a row of the same one, because you're going to see many in a row of the same one. And our actor here is Julia, and our candidate here is Nebras, who's in the second year. Yes, you can take my...
Okay. Is it correct? Is that the right?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I'll tell you guys when to start. You've read the scenario, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like this?
Yeah.
Okay, like this.
Yeah. Are we?
So, enter room now.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, Beth. How are you doing?
I'm good. I've had a bit of a rough morning. I walked out of res like really fast because I was late for class, but I had time to grab coffee, so it's all good.
I'm glad you got your morning coffee.
Thank you.
It happens, eh? Like you have a morning where you're kind of just out of it.
Yeah, a lot of them are like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's first year.
So how are you doing today?
I'm doing okay, yeah. Is there anything I know you texted me last night. Is there anything you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, well, I figured, like, we've gotten really close over the year. Like, you know, we just started school and everything, and so we have a nice little friend group going on. And some of the teammates actually asked me on our project today. We were a little bit concerned for you, so I just wanted to talk to you about that. So what came up is it's going to be a little bit awkward, but I figured since we're such close friends, I figured we should just talk about it. But a lot of the teammates were worried for you because we noticed that your breath has been kind of strong lately.
My breath?
Yes.
I have bad breath?
It's not bad.
Oh my God.
I know, it's awkward, but honestly, we were just really worried for you because we noticed when we first met you, it's not always like that. We just noticed recently, so that's why we were really just worried for you.
Oh my God, I'm so embarrassed.
Don't be embarrassed. Don't worry.
Oh my God, the breath, But you said our teammates asked you to talk to me about it?
So they did.
The whole team is talking about it?
No, but it's not like we're talking about it.
Oh my God.
Remember, Beth, we're friends, right? So we were just talking about, we're not really sure what's going on with Beth. We feel so bad.
Since
we're the closest in the group, we figured I should come talk to you just to see how you're doing.
But I mean, you guys are really, are you guys really my friends, or do you feel just obligated to be with
not
me with
at all.
The project?
No, definitely not. No.
Honestly, you guys are like the only group of friends I've made so far. Like it's been a bit lonely, and I was so happy when I found you guys, but now I realize that I'm like making you guys feel really bad by being next to me.
No, not at all. It's been hard for all of us, right?
Oh my God, it's so awkward.
But you know, we all have awkward times, right? And like, I always think back. I was friends with some of these guys back when I was in like in grade school, and I think in grade 8 there was a day when I really had to go to the washroom, and I couldn't hold it in time, and then it just came out. So I had wet pants for the rest of the day, and I got
really embarrassing
out.
Too.
We're still friends.
Okay.
So I mean, I think that was worse than this.
A little bit.
And we made it through. And honestly, it's going to be a little bit awkward, but we just wanted to talk to you because we're such close friends. We thought maybe we would just check in and see if you're doing all right.
Oh, it's really nice of you to talk to me. I mean, I'm so sorry. It's so embarrassing.
Don't worry about it at all.
I mean, I don't know what happened. I thought it was okay. I thought I was taking care of myself.
Yeah.
I mean, first year is really hard, and being in res, like I can't really cook a lot and drink a lot of coffee, but I didn't think it was that bad.
Yeah, sometimes you don't even notice, but have you had any habits lately that have changed or something like that?
Well, I mean, there's the coffee. I drink it every day now, and I wake up so late every day that I don't have time to brush my teeth, and I just like run to class. And I mean, I've been stressed because like midterms are around, and I smoke a bit when I'm stressed. So
that's new.
Do you think that's why? Do you think that's something I should change?
I don't know all of it, but I think those could probably all contribute. But it sounds like overall you're just really stressed out. So if you need any help, you know, we're all in the same boat. We can maybe study together or just hang out together. Like, we've got our group project.
Yeah.
So we could go out, grab some dinner beforehand and then go.
Oh, that would be nice.
Yeah.
I mean, if you guys don't feel obligated to, I don't want you guys to feel bad
for
me.
We're friends, right? Like, and this was super awkward, so I wouldn't have talked to you if we weren't close friends.
Yeah,
it's
really,
really
super
weird.
Awkward. Yeah, it's true, it's true.
Yeah.
But, I mean, do you think, just like, how can I, like, make it better? Because I really didn't think it was a problem.
Yeah, for sure. So brushing your teeth in the morning. It
seems
like a big chore, but it's like your dentist recommended is 2 minutes.
Right.
So even if you do a minute, you know, it's better than 0 minutes. So
I'd
say
I
do a minute
do
at least, just really quickly in the morning.
Okay.
For me, it kind of wakes me up because it's cold and whatever. Mm-hmm. So it helps you feel more together. So I would do that. And have you been able to see the dentist?
No, because I'm new to the city, and before, like, we didn't really have a good, like, follow-up with the dentist.
Yeah.
So I think it's been something like 2 years since I've been to the dentist. So that's pretty bad, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think this is something where you necessarily have to see the dentist, but it would be good to just go for a follow-up.
Okay.
There's a clinic downtown that I go sometimes, so if you want, I can help you get an appointment there, and we can kind of
scenario is over. Please exit the room and move to your next scenario.
Yeah. I think yes, because we can discuss.
Cool.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. So I'll just wait while that battery is being changed. We're going to actually thank you. Thank you to the students very much. It was very very appreciated. And now we're going to get to talk about the performance. So again, here is the here are the five questions. We'll start with the first question: the ability to establish a non-judgmental relationship. I'll just put this on, and what we see here is a very significant concordance. So actually, there's less to talk about because you're actually quite a bit more quite concordant you're showing a outcome there. The other thing that I wanted to point out is that for those of you new to the process, you may get into this thing about wanting to watch four or five of them and then score them after. Okay, you may want to do it at the very beginning, watch one or two of them and then score them, but you will rapidly forget. So you should be scoring as you go, okay? Ability to respond to the student's initial awkwardness and embarrassment. A bit more variability there. So we will talk about that. What people saw and didn't see in terms of can you just take a note of that? Communication skills. Fair bit of variability there, actually. So this is this would be something that if we saw this, we would look at that or discuss with the evaluators what they're seeing or how they're seeing things. So this is a fair bit of variability. So communication skills as well. Helpfulness. This one we're seeing, pretty good. Pretty good, actually. So mostly clustering around strong. Suitability for the health professions. This is the integrative overall one. Lots of concordance there, so very strong, some excellent, some strong. Okay, so actually very similar scoring to the other. Okay, and there was, it was awkwardness and communication skills. So awkwardness, what did people notice? Any thoughts? So his body language was like this, huh? Like he was a bit like this. So he was nervous, or he was portraying a nervous kind of person, right? That was there. Okay. All right. So there we go. We have different interpretations, and actually, I can see yours because when you do that, that is a bit more relaxed.
I thought it was more confidence that he had a smile on his face the whole time.
Right.
Whereas, you know, just because you're more confident doesn't make you, you know, I don't know. I thought the first one was more like, yes, it's an awkward situation. It's okay to be a little awkward.
Right. You know? Okay. Like a little bit more humble.
Yeah.
Okay. Anita?
I really like the example he gave of himself and the embarrassing situation. That I thought really connected and helped.
Relationship building.
In comparison to the first example, I also like, he tried to downplay the importance of the fact that the group had decided this had to be dealt with by someone who was speaking her. In the first example, the guy, sorry, what's his name?
Giuseppe.
Giuseppe, thank you. He actually, when she asked if they didn't really talk about this, or my friend was happy about me, is it really talking about me? He just said yes. There was no softening of feeling. So that kind of problem either.
Okay. So you were comparing in between.
While in this last example, he really said that he was trying to downplay that, to put her at ease.
Last comment, Milan. I didn't see any.
So I thought when
there was one over there. Okay.
When he used his narrative to his story, that was really the turning point of the entire little moment, where they established common ground, and then they started building on towards something. Before that, it was going everywhere, and then there was this example, and then poof, they were both going together. So. That was the highlight of the whole thing for me, is how he dealt with her awkwardness, I guess. So
I think Milan is also bringing up a point that I want to bring out, which is that those who here has sort of seen OSCEs before, right? Many of the health professionals, some have been subject to OSCEs.
Some people don't know what an OSCE is.
So an OSCE is an objective structured clinical examination, sort of similar idea to what we're seeing here. But there's a crucial difference between an MMI and an OSCE, okay? So an OSCE is like, we taught you something and we're evaluating how you're doing on the thing we taught you. In an MMI, there's usually multiple pathways that many things can happen, like as it's going on, as you said, the turning point for you was when he related his personal story. But another equally good performance might not include a turning point, you see. So it's the whole context in a multiple mini-interview. Dr. Manza.
A nice performance.
Yeah.
It appears to be a little more, less fluid than the first actor.
Mm-hmm.
Connected well, especially the story about the great school we have. Mm-hmm. But it was a bit directive when he came up with the suggestion. He went like
this, right? Yeah. So that may not be a thing that gets adherence to something. Okay. Last comment. You had one?
Yeah. I was going to say, like, in terms of reaction to awkwardness, I find it difficult to distinguish between very strong, excellent, and outstanding, because they're all so positive, and you can only deal with awkwardness so well. I find it's not limitless. You know, there's only so well they can react.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it's hard to distinguish that.
In this scenario, and particularly because it's been set up as a cross-gender kind of thing, like if there were a female applicant, it would be a male actor. So we've ramped it up. We've made it a bit more awkward, a bit more set up for awkwardness. You're going to see a lot of awkwardness. You're going to see, I mean, I've seen this one play out, and there's a lot of what I would call circling the drain, you know, like kind of taking 5 minutes to get to the point that the problem is the bad breath, or, you know, because they can't even, oh, how's your day, and, you know, all this kind of stuff, right? Like, so you will see a lot of variability there. Any final thoughts on this before we...
What I really liked also was that you kind of took away from the problem that we're talking about is your bad breath, but more like the problem that we're talking about is that, why is that happening? Are you okay?
Right. So trying to see some reasons. Dr. Watt.
see a correlation between the age of the evaluator and the score, because I suspect, you know, behavior changes quite quickly, and I suspect a student looking at this might, you know, look at it very differently than a 70-year-old.
Okay, so there may be, I have never, we've never correlated those things in our own MMIs. Our colleagues at the three Francophone universities do have some data that look at gender of evaluator, gender of applicant, and so on. But we actually don't have the same observations as they do, because what they basically see is an advantaging of women. No, I'm not going to say advantage. Women do better in the process as at each stage in the process. We don't actually see that in our setting. So I don't know what the differences are. All right, last comments.
On a positive note, I do believe that in the last example, we saw a lot more listening.
Whoops. Is everybody okay over there? Okay. All right. So continuing on. Okay. So active listening turns out to be one of the. It's the thing that that patients say they want to hear from their doctors the most, actually, is active listening. So that is, in communication skills, that's something that we should be looking for. All right, I'm going to move on and finish and wrap up. Okay, I do want to just let you know about flagging of behaviors. Okay, so there may be things that you observe that are so concerning that they differentiate from a poor performance, okay, and they are on. So this is the sheet that you're going to get, okay, and they are on the back of the sheet, okay, and the way to think about this is if you see the behavior is so concerning that you'd be worried about this student in medicine or in dentistry. And examples that we're talking about would be people who say inappropriate boundary crossing things, or people who say something discriminatory, or the expression of frustration, slamming a door, or getting mad, or those kinds of things. And we, you know, inappropriate touching, which we have seen. We have seen all of those kinds of things. When you see that, when you see something like that, what you need to do is you need to make a behavioral flag, which is on the front sheet. You tick it off, and then on the back side of the sheet, we ask you to categorize it by putting what it is, and it's a long list: belittling or berating statements, etc., going all the way down to other, if there's one that isn't classifiable. And then we ask you to just put a very factual description with lots of direct quotes of as to what happened without much interpretation. And then what happens is that this gets referred to a professionalism standards committee, which is chaired by Dr. Namta Gupta. I'm actually not on that committee. And there are some members, Sylvana's there. Dr. Beth Cummings is there who directs the clerkships, excuse me, and their decision that, excuse me, the decision that they make, excuse me, the decision that they make is this person, this has merit, and this person is removed from consideration, or this does not have merit, or we don't have enough data to do that, and this person continues in the process without prejudice. So those are the basic choices there.
Do we still evaluate this patient?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
with
yes.
people.
Yes. Milan.
How, you said that you've seen all this. I really have trouble almost believing it.
Believe me, I've seen it.
But how subtle? Like, is it like throwing things, like just like putting their pen back down? Like, would that be like considered like a flag if the person gets up and like does this? Or or is it in their acting with the actor that they're too much into it? Or?
If somebody displays frustration, it's pretty significant. Even the subtle, but usually the things on. If somebody displays frustration, it's pretty significant, and it's in the context of a high stakes exam where we're looking for people who can control their regulate their behaviors. They have ranged because it's hard to give you an answer because it's very contextual. Like doing this. Could be pretty significant, right? You know? So
people walk out of a room and slam a door.
Yeah.
At the end of a station that didn't go well, walk out of the room and slam the door for 4 years.
Yeah. And we're concentrating on frustration, but there are many other things that we've seen. We've seen the boundary crossing thing is a big one. this or, you know. Like the boundary crossing I just engaged in. Yeah.
Yeah. With the actor?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we've seen flirtatious behavior with an examiner.
But it could fit hugging.
Yeah. It's going to be okay. Yes, it's contextually appropriate, but sometimes it's not appropriate if it's a thing with a
teen.
Touching your knee if it's a teenage girl. Like, it just depends on what the scenarios are. But, again, the point I want to make is that you have to differentiate between poor performance and, egregious performance, right? So if it's poor performance, just score it poorly, and that's that. But if one of these things happens, which shouldn't be too often, like in a year, in an average thing of 500 interactions or 5,000 interactions, because there's 10 stations, we might have it occur four or five times.
Can I just say a little bit more about the process, just so that it's clear for everybody? The files that actually move to the Professionalism Standards Committee are only the files of flagged behaviors for candidates who are in the offer range or in the waitlist range. So there are a number of flags that happen that we never bring to the committee because they're not even going to be making it to a potential offer. So those are not even assessed by the committee. The ones that do make it to the committee, one of the things that we've had the feedback that we'd like to have come back to you as evaluators is, on the one hand, distinguishing a professionalism flag from poor performance, and we ask you now in the back of the sheet to actually do that. Give us direct quotes, give us factual observations, and distinguish it from other performances that you've seen in the same circuit that were just bad performances. That's helpful to a committee that is not there. They're not seeing that one person, and they're not seeing 50 other people in the way that you are. So give them that contextual information as well. And the last thing is, we've seen people get flagged, but get, you know, reasonably good scores. And that has been confusing to the members of the committee, that people can be seen as overall admissible on the criteria and yet have a flag raised. So at some point, it should also align with at least the number five question, the overall question about whether or not this person's suitable for the profession. If you're flagging behavior, we should see some sort of correlation there. But we've had a couple of cases where it hasn't been the case, and it's really raised a big question mark for the committee, and they wanted to feed that back to the evaluators.
Okay.
So the question in the back.
Yeah.
So your descriptions are really critical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to know, do you give feedback?
No. To the candidate? No. We do.
I guess it can be illegal.
Yeah.
But you have a form.
We have a form and a process that's at arm's length, right? Like, so that's why we do it this way. Yeah.
And it's important to know that if somebody is removed from the competition on the basis of a flag that goes to committee and is assessed as actually so concerning that they would remove them, that person is totally eligible to apply again next year without prejudice, without any indication of a flag on the file.
Right.
So it's just a kind of, you've been overtaken by the rest of the pool in this admission cycle. There were others who did this better than you did. Come back when you're ready next year.
I find this a little bit confusing because, for example, the boundary violation example, perhaps for me, if you touched me on my arm, I would consider it a boundary violation. But for other people, as long as you didn't touch me below the waist, it wouldn't be a boundary violation. But when I'm writing that up as a professionalism flag, I'm not sure that I could explain it to the committee in a way that would allow them to make that judgment. And so I see this as potentially very idiosyncratic.
I think one thing to just note is that we're talking about four or five in 5,000 interactions. So it's kind of like a very rare occurrence, but it's an important occurrence. That's why we need to talk about it. And I think the other thing I want to just say is that there's a strong correlation with poor performance and not being admissible and not doing and getting flagged. People who are flagged frequently are not admissible as well, so they don't ever get discussed in any way, shape, or form. But the odd one, and it's going to be like one or two a year, maybe, the odd one does get discussed. And what can I say?
Go back to the code
of conduct, okay, because that's what should be used to evaluate. And that is actually the only thing that we're going to allow you to leave with today is the code of conduct. Everything else you should leave here because it's all confidential stuff. Have faith that the committee members of which who are tried and true, you know, they're tried and true types, including Silvana, are going to do their very best to look at context in understanding this and also understand that, you know, it's a diverse group of people that we're seeing that come from situations where the norms are maybe different and so on, that they're really going to try and think those things through.
You also can compare, like, mm-hmm. you know, that one student, someone is touching, and none of the other students, the candidates are
right.
through. So then you can say, of all the students, this one had a particularly touchy, you know, boundary thing. Or,
yeah.
You know, I think if you set the, because we don't know how many, what, why you're saying that, because if nobody did that, then this one stands out. And if,
right.
Then we understand what.
So looking at context. Yeah. Last comment over here.
I was just going to ask, I know that in the past, like, other universities would give you feedback at the end saying, like, on your letter you scored this, on your interview you scored this, overall you scored this, and this was our threshold. And so what sort of feedback, if any, do McGill applicants get?
They get a whisker graph, right?
They don't get a whisker graph anymore. What we've been doing since last year is that in the refusal letter, depending on what stage, so if a person only makes it, doesn't make it to the interview stage, they get a sort of applicant category specific set of data on what the strength of the applicant pool that they belong to was in terms of mean and mode GPAs, what number of people made it to the next stage and what their average and mode GPAs were and where they rank. They can actually call us and get feedback from our office about where what their rank was at stage one and what their rank was in their pool at stage two. We won't give back scores on the MMIs, but we will tell people who do make it to the interview process and don't get selected after the interviews the same information, but a little bit more because they made it that next step further, and we'll tell them what their rank is.
Yep. Okay, I'm going to move forward because it's 2 minutes to 12. Just to remember, the MDCM interviews and the DMD interviews are February 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th this year. The MedP interviews will be April 20th, 21st, and 22nd. And we will have a final meeting on May 12th. And on May 12th, what we'll do, as we've done in previous years, is we'll present you with kind of the psychometric performance of the exam so that you can sort of see how things have worked, and some summaries of what we know of the applicant pool and registrant pool thus far at that point. So please don't forget those dates. And the final thing that I'd like to say is that, you know, we definitely, as in A Streetcar Named Desire, as they say, Blanche Dubois, we depend on the kindness of strangers. But you're not strangers, you're volunteers. So we really, really appreciate your participation in the process. Hope that this was helpful to you. And we are taping it, so it's going to be available on Center Stage if you ever want to consult it. And those that weren't able to be here will also be able to consult it. And please fill out your evaluation forms. And thank you very much.
And in your evaluation forms, your confidentiality forms, and your and you can take your codes of conduct and your conflict of interest policy if you want to take that too. But all of the evaluation materials should be left here.
Thank you.